Israel Report with Rolly Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolly Marks, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, and you? Everybody's safe and sound and warm and dry?
Well, yeah, we were just talking about that, the flood a little bit earlier. It was really, really crazy. And we definitely seem to be having more of these major storms, that certainly with greater frequency. Lots of damage yesterday, but everybody back to normal today.
Well, please, Chai FM listeners, please be safe and sound and take care of yourselves.
Absolutely, absolutely right. Let's just talk about the Azaria situation. Netanyahu has joined calls to ask Rivlin to pardon Azaria. Where are we with the case? And maybe you just want to give everybody, in case someone's unfamiliar with it, a very quick overview as to what happened in this case.
Well, during the wave of terror, the Gal terror, Eloah Azaria, who was a soldier in the IDF, or who is a soldier in the IDF, allegedly shot a already neutralized terrorist. This went to trial. It was a trial that really polarized Israeli society, and I think Jews around the world, as everybody weighed in, many thought that there was trial by media before he was able to get what some consider a fair trial, and he was found guilty and he was sentenced, I think it is, to 18 months. It might be longer, and there is a lot of calls for his sentence to be reduced or to even give him clemency. And some of those who have signed this petition are people like Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman, Welfare Minister Chaim Katz, Justice Minister Ayelet Shaked, and Interior Minister Aryeh Deri. And a lot of them have said that Azaria has already suffered enough because he was tried in the media and tried by, in fact, the global media. And yesterday, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu joined the petitioners by adding his name and asking President Rivlin, who rejected Azaria's pardon request last week and said that an additional lightening of your sentence would harm the resilience of the Israeli Defense Forces and the State of Israel. And many feel that he did what he was supposed to by neutralizing the terrorist. We had testimony from Magin David Adom, paramedics, who said that Azaria, or they couldn't get to Azaria because they feared for their safety. They thought that perhaps he had an explosive device or was reaching for a weapon. So they supported Azaria's claims. And there are others who say that he has been made an example of in the international media, almost as like a sacrificial lamb for the international media, because very often, more often than not, the spotlight so unfairly falls on the State of Israel.
So Netanyahu has now called, asked Rivlin to pardon him. What is the chance of that actually happening?
I don't think that that's going to happen. Yair Lapid, who is the head of the opposition Yesh Atid party, denounced Netanyahu for signing the petition. He said Netanyahu's signing of the petition to Rivlin is a direct attack on the president of Israel. Well, the Ramatkal, who is the chief of staff in the IDF. There are others who also believe that Azaria should fulfill his sentence. People like Meretz, Zehava Galon, Labour, Chavei Knesset, Nachman Shai, and a Jewish lawmaker from the Joint Arab List. And so it's an issue that doesn't seem to only be polarizing Israeli society, but lawmakers as well. So, yes, he was originally sentenced to 18 months. It had been commuted to 14 months, and I don't think that we are going to see it changed.
How smart is it for Netanyahu to get involved in this?
I think that with the possibilities of Israel going to elections next year, he's probably starting to electioneer. He's probably starting to think
so
of campaigns
words,
and where he starts.
So even if he thinks, or even if he knows that there's no chance that Azaria will be pardoned, at least he looks good to a certain group of society by simply making the request.
Yes, I think that he is talking to his constituents. However, I'm of the opinion, it's my own opinion, that and I agree with Lapid, that this is seen as an attack on the president. Mm. You know, we hope that our leaders, both prime minister and president, show a united front. But this is Israel, and as we know, that debate and discourse and divergent opinions is our national sport. And I just think in this circumstance, perhaps taking on the president's probably not the best idea.
No, it certainly doesn't seem that way to me. The new Naval Iron Dome is ready to report for duty.
It's ready to rock. So it has been tested for the last 18 months. It's the now new Maritime Iron Dome or Kipat Bazel defense system. This will be put on our ships, our submarines at sea, and any incoming projectiles that are launched from the sea will be taken care of by Kipat Bazel. Because we know that we have some very nefarious people in our waters, and by putting our Kipat Bazel and testing it successfully in a maritime scenario. Also, remember, we do have a maritime blockade in place along with Egypt, and we do have attempts by flotillas and other sources who try and break the blockade, and as we've seen in the past, sometimes not peacefully, sometimes with completely violent intentions. So we are ready to anticipate anything, and also because we know that we are seeing a gearing up of Iran and their proxies to enter into some kind of conflagration with the state of Israel. So we're protecting from the sea as well.
There definitely seems to be a rising of tensions across the board. We're seeing slow, I don't want to use the word rearmament, but we're definitely getting the sense that Israel is preparing itself for a possible Hezbollah-Iran type of conflict.
Well, we know that the region has been very, very hot lately. A lot of issues going on. We see the forming of axes, Sunni versus Shia, Israel kind of falling within the more Sunni axis. We hear the continued threats by Iran, by their proxies. I mean, we've been speaking at length about the unity government between Hamas and Fatah. We've spoken about what this means for the Palestinian people, but we haven't really spoken much about what it means for the Israelis. And what we do know is that Hamas have every intention of rearming and have no intention of letting this issue or entering into any kind of scenario with Israel where they won't go for some kind of conflagration.
Absolutely. A Polish NGO is to sue a guest house that banned Jews. Tell us about the story.
Well, this is outrageous. Yesterday we chatted about Germany and that Germany has become very sensitive to rising anti-Semitism and anti-Israel sentiment. And off air, Howard, you know, you and I and a few others were discussing a move by members of the European Parliament to censure or sanction BDS and their supporters because of their funding and the flagrant anti-Semitism that the BDS movement manifests. Hmm. And we've seen across the board in Europe moving more towards the right for a variety of reasons. And I know some of our listeners think that the more conservative or more far right is better than many of the current governments in place. But with far-right governments and with a rise in the far-right also means a rise in anti-Semitism as well. And we've seen it in Germany. We've seen it in France. We are now seeing it in Poland. And, you know, I'm dumbfounded, absolutely gobsmacked that less than a century after the Shoah, and especially in Poland, where the majority of our people were absolutely decimated. I mean, to me, Poland is a graveyard for Jews. Mm. We are now seeing this far-right, horrendous neo-Nazism rising. So what happened was that a owner of a guest house in Cezozovice, and I really hope that I pronounced that correctly.
Well, nobody's going to be able to correct you, so you don't need to worry.
There was a sign erected, written in Poland's national colors of red and white, entry forbidden to Jews, commies, Mercy. And all thieves and traitors of Poland. And according to the Polish media, the guest house belongs to one Pieter Rybak, who is currently in prison. He's actually serving a term for burning an effigy of a Jew in one of the major squares in a nearby city during an anti-immigration rally in 2015. So an NGO by the name of From the Depths, and there's a wonderful guy called Johnny Daniels who heads this NGO. They do tremendous, tremendous work in Poland with Holocaust survivors and Holocaust education, has made moves to prosecute Rybak, and he says, he was telling the Jerusalem Post, that this is a deplorable act that has no space in a modern democratic country like Poland, and that these particular individuals and groups are trying to push racism, anti-Semitism, xenophobic acts, and this cannot be tolerated. And apparently the regional prosecutor's office is looking into charging Rybak with another indictment for racist hate speech in connection with the banner. So it looks like the net's closing in on him, and we will probably watch this one very, very closely.
We will indeed. Rolina, I just see some breaking news that Netanyahu has just announced that Israel is to open an embassy in Rwanda. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has just announced that Israel will open its first ever embassy in Rwanda. Netanyahu is apparently in Kenya at the moment. That's for the swearing in of the new president. He says the new embassy is part of a wider effort to deepen cooperation between Israel and African countries. That's incredible. And the statement says officials are also considering starting direct flights between the two countries. That's amazing news.
Well, can I just make a statement?
Sure. Go right ahead.
Try and stop me. I'm going to pull out the proverbial soapbox. Mm-hmm. I know that there's a lot in the media, including an op-ed from myself today on the proposal to downgrade the embassy, the South African embassy in Tel Aviv. And I know there's an email to voice your discontent. Let's remind those that are calling for the downgrading of the South African embassy in Tel Aviv that all over the African continent, as we have just witnessed moments ago, efforts to increase cooperation and increase bilateral ties with the state of Israel are growing.
Yeah, there's no question about it, Rolene. It's only the South African context where it's so much easier to divert attention away from some of the horrors that exist within our country and the way in which government has let people down, that this even becomes a conversation. It's really very simply because it's much easier to focus on somebody else's issues than your own.
Well, this is it. And also, I think it's the flagrant, let's say, exploiting and piggybacking of some people on their and trading on their family name to bring further division and discord and hatred into the country. And some of you will know what I'm talking about. I'm trying to be subtle here, Howard. I know subtlety is not my,
Raleigh,
is
you
not
just
my thing.
You just have to accept that you're not very good at that.
I know. It's a mandla, I tell you. But this is, you know, Netanyahu's in Kenya, and from Kenya announcing to open an embassy in Kigali, which is the capital of Rwanda. This is incredible positive news. I see that we've had more movement from companies in Israel that provide energy or solar solutions for Africa. There are more solutions coming into Africa, and really, not to sound like President Trump, but really, those supporting a downgrade of the embassy, don't be a loser.
Absolutely, absolutely right. Finally, before we let you go, a great story. Israel's first female tank crew is to be deployed despite a lot of criticism.
Well, yeah, this is quite a controversial issue. We've got our first pilot program where female combat soldiers will serve in a tank unit. Apparently, they won't be engaged in actual combat, but they will guard and defend our southern border and respond in kind. And this has faced a lot of criticism. There are some elements within the Israeli army who say that, you know, the women don't have certain strengths that men do, that they are more vulnerable to certain issues within a combat situation. I know that speaking to a friend of mine who is a colonel in the IDF, mm-hmm. he's expressed concern that should a female soldier be kidnapped, you know, what could she possibly endure? Some say that females can't have the aren't as strong in the training, but it seems that these female recruits have paid their dues, and while they will not be integrated into the armed corps combat brigades, here I've got numbers like the 188th, the 7th, and the 401st, and really these are just numbers to me because I'm not a soldier, mm-hmm. but they will serve in the newly formed Border Defense Force, which will secure Israel's borders. But should we have a conflict or wartime scenario, they will not cross the border.
Very, very interesting indeed. It's just about to go 5 to 6. That's Rolene Marks with the Israel Report. She'll be back with us tomorrow. The Israel Report brought to you, as always, by the Blue Agency. Rolene Marks, we'll catch up with you tomorrow.